This podcast was recorded on the lands of the Boonwurrung people of the Kulin Nation. The land on which I am lucky enough to raise my son always was and always will be Aboriginal land. This episode of Ready or Not is brought to you by Mama Miller, creators of genuinely leak-proof bralettes and camis that almost look too good to be as practical as they are.
I was the cleaner, I was the admin person, I was the studio manager, I was the everything. I didn't always want to be a mum, but I wanted a family. I call it maternity leave, but I never felt like I really took maternity leave. How am I going to make this work if the first day it's already fucking up? I hated being alone with him. For me, daycare was a necessity. I needed it for my own mental health. I was coming back to myself. And I felt like a shell of a human during postpartum.
Kat Webb wouldn't quite call herself the maternal type, and motherhood wasn't exactly something that she dreamed of. However, she wanted a family, so she knew she had to go through the former to get the latter. And I think it's fair to say that going through it is exactly how Kat would describe it. As you're about to hear, she found the first year of her son's life challenging, and she took some time to find her groove in motherhood. As the founder of Good Times Pilates and with three popular studios in Melbourne's inner north, Kat put more into the business than herself when it came to preparing for mat leave. And here, she talks what she's learned in hindsight, how she started Good Times Pilates, and why it was necessary to start daycare on what most would class, perhaps even judge, as the earlier side of things. If you adore your child, but you took some time to settle into motherhood, this episode is for you. And I can't thank Kat enough for being so open and honest. I'm Lucinda. This is Ready or Not. And here is the candid and charismatic Kat Webb. Kat, you've just opened your third Good Times Pilates studio. Do you think the Kat of a few years ago would have known the way her business would evolve?
No, definitely not. I think I still shock myself sometimes in how much business lights me up and how much growing the business and reaching more people and growing our community, it's constant for me now. And at the start, it was really like one foot in front of the other. I really didn't know what I was doing. So yeah, it's not something that I had planned, but it kind of makes perfect sense.
Now let's take it back to your career pre-motherhood. You obviously opened your first space before your child came to be, but what did career life look like before that?
So before I opened the studio, I was a Pilates teacher for quite a few years, and I was kind of a bit lost. Like, I lived with my parents. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I was, you know, thinking about, yeah, potentially opening my own studio, but it was actually my dad he has owned his own business forever. So starting a business was like the natural progression. And then after I opened the studio, I kind of met my partner around the same time that I was about to open. And then we stopped dating for a little while, as people do. And I got to focus on the business. You know, I moved out of my parents' house. I was like really becoming an adult at like whatever, however old I was, 33, you know.
I still don't feel like an adult, so that's absolutely fine.
Definitely not. And then the studio was open for maybe, what was it, pre-lockdown. I feel like I'm probably going to be talking about COVID and lockdown a little bit. I feel like that had played such a huge part in my pregnancy and business journey. But yeah, post-COVID is a bit of a blur, but I was really starting to feel like my own human and being the person that I always wanted to be. Being a business owner, I was a stepmom, so my partner has a daughter who is 10. So she was only 5 or 4 when we got together. So she's very young. And we had her every second day, every second weekend. So I still had a lot of independence, going out for nice dinners a lot, which we still do, but it's a bit less now. But I was, once I'd opened the studio, I was really like doing everything. So I was teaching every day at least. I was, you know, the cleaner, I was the admin person, I was the studio manager, I was the everything. So I was able to do that because my partner and I had a few months off together and off being together. And then because I, you know, wasn't a mother, I was still that independent person, even though I was a stepmom, I was allowed the space to really focus on building the business.
And what was it like being a stepmom before becoming a mum in the more traditional sense?
It was good. I mean, Mimi, my stepdaughter, is so funny. She makes it easy. And like, there's a lot of things that you have to navigate because it's not just about your partner and you, it's about the child, it's about their ex-partner and any other kind of relationships and issues that have gone on in the past. You kind of have to come into it with a lot of empathy and not taking things personally and just understanding that, you know, your partner's attention isn't always fully on you.
That's a really interesting one, actually, because most people would say that it was just the two of them before they had kids and that they could focus all their energy on each other. But you navigated that a little bit earlier.
Yeah, yeah, which actually, I mean, it also attracted me a lot. It endeared me to my partner because I saw him as a dad before, and I knew him before we got together. So I knew him as a dad beforehand, which I think, like, I knew what I was getting into the whole time. And my relationship with Mimi at the start was about not so much being her friend, but just trying to connect with her in a way. Like, we would go to the gallery or go out for sushi, just the two of us. We'd try and do things, the two of us, that were like, we barely do things just the two of us now, which we probably, you know, should do a little bit more so. But I was able to build my own relationship with her, and that was really beautiful. Like, my partner has always given me a lot of space to be the type of parent that I need to be, or we all have our bad days, and that also happens when you're parenting a stepchild.
Yeah,
but he has to almost be doubly as forgiving because, you know, he can't get angry at me for parenting his, well, he can, but he doesn't get angry at me for parenting his daughter in a way that he doesn't love. He knows that everybody makes mistakes and everyone's trying to be the best parent that they can be, but it doesn't just happen overnight, you know?
It's such an interesting way to learn about parenting and relationships from that angle. Did it set you up much or make you think much about when you might carry and birth your own child and how that would work, I guess?
It definitely did. I think because I knew I was getting into a relationship with like a ready-made family, I always wanted a family. I didn't always want to be a mum, but I wanted a family. So I don't know, it was kind of like the thought of it or the discussion of it felt a little bit easier and a bit more free-flowing because it already kind of existed.
Yeah. And so you've touched on it, but I want to go a little bit deeper because it's no small feat getting a business off the ground. So I'm assuming that because you felt like you had this space away from your partner and that you didn't have kids, you just poured everything to it. As you said, you were the admin person, you were cleaning, you were teaching. And I'm a yoga teacher, so I know actually what it takes to teach, like even just one class a week. Like,
yeah,
it takes a lot of you emotionally, mentally, and physically. So if you were doing that every day on top of everything else, I can't even imagine how huge that was. When you look back now, how did you really get your business off the ground?
Like I said before, I lived with my parents, so I had the very fortunate experience of having my meals cooked for me, having my room cleaned for me. Like, my, you know, my parents had a cleaner. I didn't, the extra additional life management tasks weren't part of my daily life. So I was, you know, supported to be able to spend the time teaching and, you know, napping wherever I could. But that was kind of, and then I did move out not long after I opened the business. Having that support really helped me get there. Like, being able to live at home, I was able to save up enough money, and then enough money, like as much money as I could, which still wasn't enough. And then my grandma actually gifted all of the grandchildren a little bit of money because they were doing a, well, before we get too old and give you the money later, we'll give you a little bit of money now. And so that was able to go towards like the bank guarantee, which is something that I hadn't thought of before opening a business, you know. And then my dad had connections with helping put the mirrors in, build certain boxes, do the flooring. And I was also in the very fortunate position to be able to borrow some money from my parents interest-free. And then I paid them back quite quickly because when I lived with them, I didn't pay myself. So I was able to not pay myself for quite a while because of that.
So it was all hands on deck, obviously.
Definitely.
So then you're growing your business. You'll eventually open more studios, but somewhere in that mix, having your own child comes into play. How did you feel about that when you were a small business owner? Was it something that stressed you out or did you feel like, I've got this?
It never stressed me out, but I don't know if I felt like I'd got this either. I think it was somewhere in the middle, to be honest. I think it was like a perfect storm of me feeling like I was ready to take that step and having the support within the business to be able to take that step at the same time. I was very fortunate before I went on maternity leave to have great staff and they took over. You know, I had set that up and I spent a really long time setting that up, potentially to my own detriment because I focused more on setting up the business and the staff than I did setting up myself for motherhood.
I found that really interesting when we were emailing and you were talking about setting yourself up as a mom versus setting yourself up as business person. So I want to get to that. But before we do, pregnancy didn't exactly happen overnight for you. Tell us about what happened once you decided to start Try.
Actually, I think kind of to backtrack a little bit, the start of the story was when I thought maybe I might want to do this, having my own child thing. I had gone to a doctor and I actually can't remember all the terminology. I'm one of those people that just does whatever the doctors say, and then I forget what the specific things are. Anyway, the advice was that if I hadn't fallen pregnant within, I think it was 6 months, to potentially get some more tests done or have a look at how that was going. And so we were trying for, I think it was probably longer than that because lockdowns and, you know, other external stressors
and life.
Yes, and life. I think it was about after a year of trying that I decided to go and see someone else. We had gone with Melbourne IVF for the first kind of consultation and I didn't feel that I had gelled with the doctor that we had been sent to. So I asked around and did some research and we ended up going with Number One Fertility because I had heard such great things. So the first appointment, Dave was actually allowed to come to the first appointment. So we got to do that one thing together. The like 2020, 2021 are such a blur in terms of what the rules were, what we could do and when things happened.
It's so confusing. People that recall different months during COVID and they're like, oh, and that was when we were doing this. And I was like, how do you remember it? It's just one big blur. Weren't we just locked down for 360 days straight?
Right. So yes, at some point in those 2 years, we got to go together to one doctor's visit. And then, yes, from then I was given the choice of, you know, do you want to try doing assisted or do you want to go straight to IVF? And in my mind, I was like, I don't want to waste my time and energy and potential heartache on something that may or may not work. I'd rather go with IVF and kind of get it over and done with and be a bit more of a guarantee that you're going to get somewhere. So then we went down the IVF path and this was all kind of during lockdown. So it was a very different experience. A lot of Zoom appointments, a lot of do a blood test or have an appointment and then you'd have consultations later. And so we ended up, I did egg retrieval. It would have been July of 2021, which was the first time I'd ever been to a hospital. I'd never been in hospital, never been under general before. So that was
a very new experience
for me. Yeah.
Were you nervous?
I was a little bit. I felt like I had real faith in my doctor. We had Lynn Burmeister was our doctor. I know she has a few doctors now, but she was my, she did our egg retrieval in heels, which was amazing.
Oh my God, I love that so much.
She's such a character. I don't, if any of the
is she the woman that wears tutus and stuff in her photos?
She could.
I think I've heard of this woman.
She has a pink palace in the city in Melbourne.
I know of this woman.
And then has the Emerald Palace in East Melbourne, which is, I think they've taken over the whole building now, but when we were there, that was where the embryos were made. I don't know the proper terminology.
That's what the doctors are there for.
That's where my partner went for his part of the deal. And that's where I went for the transfer. So yeah, we were very fortunate that we had 16 eggs retrieved, and then we were going to do half. We were doing half natural, which is when they just put the egg and the sperm together and see what happens. And then half ICSI, which is when they actually insert the sperm into the egg. And from that, we had three embryos that got to embryo stage. And so the best looking one got transferred into me on like a Monday morning. And the transfer is the wildest part because it's the least invasive, like most chill, very fast part of the whole experience. You know, after going through the all of the hormones and all of the injections and everything, and then the transfer is quite invasive. Yeah, it's so interesting. It just kind of, you're like, oh, cool, I may be with child.
Wow.
And that was also during lockdown. So I was kind of fortunate that I got to spend a lot of time at home. So the business ran throughout lockdown. We were doing live classes where we would do two or three live classes a day. And I also launched a online studio where you can have a subscription to lots of classes, and we have like a bank of classes.
Oh, wow. How was that to set up and run? Was that a big undertaking?
It was huge. Yeah. That was a really big, we did that earlier in 2021.
Yeah.
So yeah, I had the time to be able to focus on that a little bit, which was nice. And we'd got a dog the year before. So I was kind of sitting at home, cuddling my dog, working on my laptop. So I couldn't go anywhere anyway.
Yeah.
And so it was actually really like only nice experience to, in those first kind of few months of being pregnant. And then we found out we were pregnant, and that's the beginning.
So how did you find navigating all of that while running a business that all of a sudden, I hate to use this word, but it describes it well, that really needed to pivot so quickly?
I think because we've done it before. You know, we really set ourselves up in 2020.
Oh, of course. I see, talk about getting confused about years.
I know.
I think you're 2021 as the first year of lockdowns.
It was 2020. Yeah.
Of course. So you'd pivoted the year before, and then you knew what you were ready to do that when that winter lockdown came.
Exactly. We could do it really quickly. We had a down pat by then.
So you and I fell pregnant at actually almost the same time. I think I would have been a month after you, funnily enough. So you would have just been emerging out of the world in your second trimester as lockdowns were ending. That's one thing I do remember about lockdowns, is that they were ending around when I was entering my second trimester. How were you starting to feel then when you were probably getting back to the studio? Pregnancy was well and truly underway. How did you navigate that part of your pregnancy?
We had also just signed a lease on a second studio at that time. So it was, I think we signed the lease end of October, and then we came out of lockdown. I'm pretty sure, I remember some dates. We came out of lockdown like early November. I'm pretty sure it was like the 4th of November. Sometimes the dates, because I got so excited about writing the email saying we were opening. But we were also, the fitness industry was one of the last industries that were allowed to open.
Of course, yeah.
You know, a lot of other industries had been open. I think you were allowed to go to restaurants. I can't remember exactly, but we were open, but we had to wear masks. So everybody in the class had to wear a mask.
Even during the workout?
During the workout.
God, I can't even remember that. I mustn't have attended a class at that time.
That's the law. I don't know if it was actually a law, but that's what the guidelines were. But I don't know how many people actually stuck to it. But we were very by the book. We also had one less machine, so we had a bit more space. I feel like we kind of had it pretty, everyone was just so excited to be back in the studios. So we didn't care that we were wearing masks, you know?
Yeah.
And then during that time, I was also, this is where I got a little bit used to that, trying to do a million things at once, more so, I guess, because the studio was opening, I was pregnant, and we were setting up the new studio. And I love being hands-on when it comes to building. So I was trying to do as much as I could, but wasn't allowed to do heaps in terms of, like, you know, I wasn't meant to get up on ladders and paint things, but I still did that stuff. You know, it's like whenever I tell anyone the pregnancy guidelines, when we have people coming into exercise, I'm like, number one, limit risk of falling.
Yeah,
number
yeah.
two.
Do as know. I say, not as I do.
Exactly. Yeah, there was a lot happening, and it was, I was building the studio with my partner. So it was also a really joyous time because we got to work together to build that space. And that was the first time that the both of us had worked kind of full time together. And we did that up until we opened Northcote in, I think it was like the second weekend of February. And so by the time we were open, I was quite pregnant, given that I was due the start of May. I only worked there for like a month and then had to leave. It was not chaotic. It was like, it was a lot.
Yes.
It was a lot.
I'm going to assume that you felt pretty good in your pregnancy if you were doing all of this.
Yes.
So did you feel like birth was a deadline to get this studio done, or did it all feel like it was going to fall on this timeline? Was there ever a time where you were like, these doors are not going to open before I give birth? What the hell am I going to do?
No, I knew that it was going to be ready. Yeah, we opened mid-Feb and then I gave birth end of April. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's not a lot of time, but...
But you were on a timeline. It wasn't like a what's going to come first.
Exactly.
And so, as you said, you felt really prepared in the business in terms of who would step up as you stepped away for a few months for motherhood, but you didn't feel as prepared for what you did for yourself. Let's first talk about how you set up your business to be able to step away for a few months.
I was in a very fortunate position to have great staff working for me. So we'd hired quite a few new teachers for the new studio to open. So that was a brand new experience for me, because prior to that, our team had been really small. It had mostly been, you know, and the people had carried on during lockdown. It was quite a core, tight team. And then once we opened, we needed more staff. So it was, you know, navigating new relationships and more HR. You know, I was really learning about that, because that is a part of business that I didn't really know much about. But I was very fortunate that one of my now best friends, she had studied, a lot of people studied Pilates during lockdown. So there was that as well. So she had studied in maybe 2020, and then she used to do privates with me, and so she knew me very, like, we were very close. She knew the studio very well, and she was working for us just out of lockdown. She ended up being the studio manager when I was ready to leave. So she also has two youngish kids. I think actually Poppy was probably only like two when she took it over. So really, they were very young.
Yeah.
Because I had done so much in her kind of healing journey doing privates, she was very passionate about helping me and the business as well. So I was very fortunate to have her, and having a training manager. So having someone that could also support the teachers and make sure there was a bit, you know, continuity, having someone that they could reach out to for anything to do with teaching.
Yeah, amazing. And what about emotionally? Because this is your baby that you've built, your first baby. How did you feel about the idea of stepping away from work from that point of view?
To be totally honest, I never felt like I stepped away. So I wasn't working like in the business day to day, but I was still always working on the business, as in I was constantly thinking about it, which you do as a business owner. It's like you can't turn that off.
So you didn't totally tap out. You were still in communication. You just weren't in the studio.
Exactly. Like, I call it maternity leave, but I never felt like I really took maternity leave. I think I turned my notifications off on like the emergency chat for maybe, you know, only because I knew it was going to stress me out, but yeah. for you know, a couple of weeks, and that was about it. Yeah. As in, we have an emergency chat for covers. So, like, anything that's, like, imminent.
Not the studio burning down. Don't bother me with that information.
That's fine. Yes. But there was a situation that happened. So we can go into, like, birth story stuff if you want. But, like, I was at the hospital and it was the day after I'd given birth. Yeah, the morning after. And someone had got to one of the studios and the key wasn't in the lockbox. Which not everybody has a set of keys, because otherwise we'd have 20 million keys out in the world. So then I had to tell Dave. Dave was rushing from Parkville to try and get, it was peak hour. It was like four. Yeah, because the class starts at 4:30. So it was like 4 o'clock, 4:15, trying to get from the hospital to Fitzroy.
Oh, no.
Yeah, in peak hour. And then luckily someone who lives in Fitzroy could make it by the time. But I was just at the hospital, like, having a meltdown going, how am I going to do this? I can't understand. Like, even just thinking about it, it's like a visceral response. It makes me want to cry. I just, how am I going to make this work if the first day it's already fucking up, you know? And then, so that was like the worst introduction to motherhood, business owning combination.
And so let's get into new motherhood. You didn't feel that prepared, and you did feel like you struggled quite a bit?
Yeah, absolutely. Because I'd spent so much time focusing on setting up the business and the community, I didn't spend as much time as I, in retrospect, should have on setting myself up for success, for being a mom and for having a baby. I thought that I had, like, I'd done so many courses, I'd read so many books, I'd listened to so many podcasts, but I still felt totally lost and unprepared. Like, I am such an organized person because I have to be with work, with life, you know, but I didn't even pack a baby bag, because in my mind I was like, oh no, that's not important. Like, you can just do that when you're in labor or whatever. Yeah, I'd bought little Ziploc bags. This is how organized I wanted to be. I'd bought like Ziploc bags because I was going to put all of my like undies and things in the Ziploc bags and have it like really organized in my bag.
Yeah.
But I just hadn't packed the bag.
Yes. I get it. The intention was there, to be fair.
Yes. But I felt very unprepared for, I didn't feel unprepared for birth. I still, like, I'm not sure you can ever really fully prepare yourself for birth, given that there are so many things that can happen. But definitely wasn't prepared for afterwards. Like, my son August has been bottle fed since birth because we were separated for quite a while, and we didn't even know like how to make formula bottles. Like, we would make them up, put them in the fridge, and then have to go downstairs in the middle of the night multiple times and heat them up and like stand there and heat them up. So we were screwing up our own sleep and like wasting so much time. I don't even know how I found out that you can, we used to put the formula in the bottles and then have a thermos beside the bed.
Yeah.
And then just fill them up with the thermos would, you know, and cold water just in case. And we'd make them beside the bed and then just feed him as needed. And we would do that throughout the night because it was way easier than me trying to be awake and trying to breastfeed him, which I really, really struggled with anyway. So yeah, we're very not prepared. Even though my partner had done it before, you know, he'd never had to deal with formula, so he didn't know. And like, things change. Like, my mini's 10, so the big difference. Well, a lot of things change, you know, in 9 years.
And so, as you say, you were never totally tapped out of the business.
Uh-huh.
Did it look like for you having a newborn and staying in touch and staying on top of what was going on in the studios?
To be totally honest, I don't remember.
Like, I understand that.
I'm not sure. Most of the staff knew not to contact me. And so my contact was Joe, who I was talking about before. So we would still talk pretty much every day, but we do that now. But we would talk a lot, and she would fill me in. And I was still like, I still had access to the studio emails, and I would maybe look at them every now and then just to kind of get a gauge on what was going on. But I didn't even really do that many classes. Like, I remember the first class that I did back after the 6 weeks, Joe actually came and did it with me, which was really cute. But I was so mentally just not there that, yeah, I wasn't motivated to do much of anything at all, to be honest. And I don't remember what I did to get through it. It
took me a long time to get back to classes, so I can totally relate to that.
Yeah.
So August started daycare at 3 months and you slowly built up to full-time at 14 months.
Yeah.
I really love this because I think that it's considered probably on the earlier end.
Okay. Some
parents do it by choice. Some do it with no choice at all. They had to go back. So I'd love for you to share your experience for those parents that do have to or want to start that daycare journey on what is society perceives as the earlier end of the scale.
Well, for me, it wasn't a choice because I still wasn't back at work really, but I hated being alone with him. Like I didn't have a connect. Like when people say there's this love bubble and there's this like, you know, I loved him. It's like having my heart exist outside myself. I don't connect or understand any of that.
Yeah.
Only once he got to about 1 year old did I really feel like I had a relationship with him. And so,
and it's a double-edged sword hearing that because it doesn't feel good that you're not feeling that, but then you're also wondering why you don't feel it. So I can imagine that it's like you just stay in your head and you're there with a baby that doesn't speak to you. It must be really emotional.
I just didn't have that. Like, I've never been a mothery kind of, I don't know. That's not the, mothery is not the word. It's like, you know, I have a lot of empathy and compassion because of what I do, but I've never been connected with the child rearing.
You weren't someone that was excited to lay down on a couch and breastfeed a newborn type thing. Like you didn't want to.
No.
Like you're a go-getter by what I can hear. You like to be out there doing things.
I think so.
Yeah.
And I never wanted to like be a mum. I wanted to have a family. But I never, motherhood is not something that has ever like, yeah, really connected to me. And it's not been a dream of mine. It's just something that I was like, oh yeah, I want this life. So I have to go through this thing.
Totally. Yeah, I can understand that. And so tell me about that starting daycare at that age. How did the sickness go? All of that stuff.
Oh my God. I forgot all about that.
We've forgotten about COVID and we've forgotten about daycare sickness.
So we got COVID when August was 4 weeks old,
oh,
which
brutal
sucked. It was right when I was like ready to be a bit more out in the world. And the worst part was that my partner, Dave, got it first. And so he spent 2 nights in the spare room. And that was the hardest part.
So you're doing night times on your own and all of that
nights
stuff.
Nights on your own with a 4-week-old baby is fucking tough.
Did you have the nighttime dread as the sun would set too? Because I had that big time in the early days.
Totally. Do you know what it was? It's like you're doing this nighttime performance. Like we're going to pretend we're going to bed.
Oh my God.
We're having a cup of tea. We're like putting our jammies on. It's like just because the sun goes down, it's like you do this little dance.
I can feel it in my chest. And you're like, this is okay. This is going to be okay. We're getting ready for bed. But deep down, you're terrified.
Totally, because like you're probably only gonna get to have like half an hour sleep. I distinctly remember like going to the coffee shop that we usually go to and just being like, how, I had no idea it was humanly possible to survive on this little sleep. Like how am I not completely inside out right now? And I probably was, but I felt like I could still walk, you know, which to me was like a marvel in and of itself. Like,
and it is a marvel. Those things deserve to be celebrated when you're running on that level of empty.
Yeah,
but I do keep,
and your body
taking
is
you
just
off track.
So jelly. Yeah, sorry, daycare.
Sorry, I this is my fault. I'm taking you in all these directions.
No, it's fine. For me, daycare was a necessity. I needed it for my own mental health. And we deliberately wanted him to go to a daycare that would take children at 3 months. And he started off with like 2 days a week, and then my mum would do 1 day a week, and then we just slowly kind of built it up. And for me, I never really had that like, oh, I've left him with someone else. I think I'm very trusting of other people. That's my natural go-to, is to like have faith in other people.
And you obviously knew you needed it too.
Yep. I did a lot. I remember the first kind of, after he started daycare, the first like 6 months, I did a lot of things for me, which I needed to do. And because I had a lot more space to do them, you know, like getting massages and going for bath houses and, yeah, didn't do many classes, but, you know, I would, yeah, the days would also go quickly. Like, I don't really know what I did, but I needed the space in my brain.
And so you sound quite pragmatic, which I think would have helped you, where unfortunately a lot of mothers seem to come unstuck is even if they feel like they do need that space away from their child, they either don't think they're deserving of having it, or they feel too guilty to send a baby to daycare when they shouldn't if it's going to help their mental health.
Yeah.
What advice would you give to someone that is leaning towards that more guilt path or not thinking that they deserve that time away?
It's really challenging, and it's also really sad that, you know, some parents feel that way. I'm very fortunate that I don't get guilty. I am like inherently selfish, I think, which
is a good thing in a lot of ways.
Yeah. I know my boundaries, I guess, around that. But I think my advice would be to at least try and do one thing a day that's for you, and that's not just like having a shower without your kid on your ankle. Let yourself watch shitty reality if that's what you want to do. And there's no need to feel guilty. Like, do you know what I kept thinking is it's such bullshit that, you know, there's this, was your baby breastfed or formula fed and blah, blah, blah. And like, I'm sorry, but who of your friends do you know if they were breastfed or formula fed, if and when they went to daycare? Like, who gives a shit? All kids end up the same.
No one knows. I saw a great meme about this the other day that was like, my son got a face tat, so go ahead and give them the bottle. It doesn't matter.
I love it.
So true.
Much.
No one knows.
Oh my God. And like the day that I gave up breastfeeding was like the most liberating time for me, because I'd put myself through hell trying to make this thing work that just wasn't going to work. We only ever got up to maybe like 50%. And I was still like pumping hours every day, trying to feed him, had no supply at all. I was on the tablets that try and help your supply come in, and I was just totally lost. I didn't really know at the time. I thought that everything was fine. Retrospect is so beautiful and like kind of annoying in that I thought that I was doing the right things as I was going, and only afterwards was I like, you're an idiot. Why did you think that that was okay?
Punishing ourselves for something that, as you say, if it's not working, the detriment to our mental health is so much worse than our baby having a bit of formula.
Absolutely. And I think, especially with like the daycare thing, trying to make daycare and breastfeeding work was like so hard and just a waste of time. It's like, why am I doing this to myself? Like, my time is so much more valuable and my mental health is so much more valuable than putting myself through this. The nothing. Like,
I wish every mother had that mindset, Kat.
Breast milk is great for kids.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. And you know what? My mum and my mother-in-law were like, oh, we only breastfeed for like 3 months and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, that's amazing that you had that in the back in as your sort of, I guess, your mentors, because I think a lot of old school people or people of that generation would be the exact opposite.
Yeah. Well, my mum and my mother-in-law, owned her own business too at the time and like went back to work straight away, basically didn't do any maternity leave. My mum went back to work like 3 months after I was born. So they both had to do that. So it was great, but I still didn't listen to them. Like, you know, I still tried.
Hindsight, as you say, is frustrating but beautiful.
So you
start to, I guess, come back to yourself a little bit more. You have a bit more time away from your son. I imagine work starting to ramp up as daycare days are ramping up. And as you say, it about one is perhaps when that connection and that change really happened for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you think led you there, and how would you describe those shifts in emotions and how you felt?
I think I was led there because I was kind of forced there. So as in work-wise, like Joe told me that she was going to step away from being the studio manager, and that was like the end of 2021. And I told her that I wasn't ready. And she was like, yes, you are ready. And, you know, so I was kind of forced to. But when I did take over more responsibility and more jobs within the business, within my own business, I was like, oh, no, I can do this. You know, it's not, I can do it. It's challenging. The most challenging part is, you know, dealing with so many relationships with all of the staff and the scheduling, because it's a real like mind fuck trying to deal with the wants and needs of like 20 people and a timetable, and then the community, what they want and need,
and then what your child wants and needs. That's a lot.
Exactly. I'm great that, you know, my family are really close by and they are great to call on. Like my sisters love babysitting. My parents love babysitting. So we have a great support network.
And what shifted in that connection that you talk about with August?
I don't actually know. I think it was not so much with him and it was more within myself. Like I started feeling like I was coming back to myself, and I never felt like I really changed who I was in terms of being a mum. I just felt like the confusion and the lost, I felt like a shell of a human during postpartum and for that first kind of year. And then I started feeling more confident in myself and more alive, I guess. And that allowed me to kind of bring more compassion to my parenting and then more connection.
Do you think in a way maybe that outside perspective of getting back to the world and feeling like a confident person made you a more confident mother in a lot of ways?
I think so. I think feeling like valued and needed outside of the house then made me realize how valued and needed I am inside the house.
That's a really interesting perspective. I love that. So then you go on to open a third studio, just in case you weren't busy enough. And as I know, even though the newborn phase can be tricky, toddlers are hard work. Because they demand a lot. I love them, but they're nuts. Tell us about all this. You sign that lease. You've got a baby that's growing by the day. Tell us about that time.
All of last year, it was the start of this year, sorry, not last year. I came back to work. You know, I was working full-time again, running the business, kind of teaching a little bit where I was needed and feeling more confident and competent. But I was also feeling like I needed some direction. I was feeling a bit lost in my career, in my work. And so I had a few options of things that we could do, other ways we could grow the business. And then I decided to open another studio. In my mind, we always were going to have three. It was just the way I wanted it to be. Have a little triangle of the inner north.
Magic number.
Exactly. And so, yeah, we found this spot pretty easily. It was like the first spot we really looked at. We'd never looked anywhere else. I know. And I loved it because it's a really big, there's a huge balcony that's on Sydney Road. So it's really lovely and light and bright, and I could envisage it. And I was just so, like, I had really itchy feet. I really needed a project. And I signed the lease in June after, like, quite a bit of negotiating. I'd seen it in, like, maybe a few months beforehand, and it was still available, and I was like, I know that it's, like, the place.
Yeah.
It just kind of felt like I knew what I wanted. I knew how we were going to get there. And we took it slow. Like from June to we only opened 3-4 weeks ago.
That sounds quick to me. That's like
really?
That's like a 4 or 5 month turnaround, isn't it? You're like too slow.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty impressive to me.
I don't know. Some people. But we didn't rush. And also we had some setbacks. My partner had hand surgery. I just didn't want to. And during, and he's the builder. And I didn't want to rush. I didn't want to push. I didn't want to add further stress.
And did it feel easier in a way to build this third studio when you had a sort of blueprint of how you'd done it before? Or is it just a totally new beast when you take on a new space?
In terms of like the actual design, I knew what I wanted. The build actually kind of went pretty smoothly. Like the only things that were challenging was, you know, outside suppliers and like project managing that. But in terms of the community and the like risk of starting a new business, I felt really confident in because we'd done it before. We opened in Brunswick because I felt like we were coming to where our community already are.
Yeah.
So that part of it wasn't stressful. You know, I might have had the odd like, oh, you know, what if nobody comes moment, but it's not in my nature to, I mean, I get imposter syndrome like everybody else, but it's not in my nature to doubt. It's more in my nature to like problem solve. So even if things weren't going to work out, I was going to figure out how to make it work because I didn't really have a choice.
And so now you have 3 studios and 25 staff. You're a mother and a stepmother. Let's start with the best bits of being able to, I guess, realize your career and realize your business while also parenting.
So the thing that sets you up for parenting, if you've owned a business, is that like cognitive load that you have to think about a million and one things at once when you own a business. Like there are so many parallels. That's why I love the saying that like parents make the best CEOs or like moms make the best CEOs.
That's such a good point. I've never thought of it like that.
You know, because you've got to think of all of the things to do with raising a child and growing a human and like looking after a household.
Yeah.
And that's very, very similar to running a business.
Yeah.
If not pretty much exactly the same. Like, so that I felt like I was kind of prepared for and felt like I could do, even though it's, you know, your cognitive load is just like growing and growing and growing and it can be a lot. It's like when you, I don't know, when people say they have more children, your love just grows. It's not different. It just, there's more of it. There's more like cognitive energy. There's more things to think about and it kind of works.
So in a way it almost made you realize that you were more capable, do you think?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
That I can do lots of things at once.
Yeah, even when it feels like your head's about to fall off. I was having one of those days yesterday and then I got through the workload and I was like, oh, okay, I did it. Remember that for next time. Remember that for next time instead of having a panic attack.
Yes.
And what about the biggest challenges? What do you find the hardest to navigate with parenting and your paid work?
My work behavior, I guess, is quite conscious and thought out. And the way that my work reactions or my like problem solving is a lot more thought out and conscious and empathetic. Whereas my family reactions and family behaviors are that like innate rage.
I could totally relate to that.
So that's my biggest struggle. And especially with my stepdaughter, because she's the one that it potentially gets taken out on the most, because she's also at this age where you ask her to do something and you have to ask her a million times. And, you know, it's like typical kid stuff, but it gets really annoying when you're trying to look after a nearly 2-year-old and she just won't get dressed or like won't brush her hair. And she's being really loved, like she wants to play with the baby and like they have such a great relationship. But that's when it's like, I can't ask you again. You just go off. And also now Augie's getting to that point where he cracks the shits, you know, like real tantrums and real, he doesn't have the language to express himself, and especially at dinner times. And there's a lot of throwing and like, you know, accidentally hitting and hurting. And it's really hard not to react. And I mean, not to one react at all, which is what we're trying to do, is just not have any reaction to any kind of negative behavior. But it's so difficult not to. And
it's so hard not to.
Oh, it's so difficult to also parent, like be a real conscious parent when that's your like relaxed time.
Yeah. And if you've had like a high energy day and you're rushing to pick them up, or your partner's rushing to pick them up and you're rushing to do something else, you get home and you feel like that sense of relief, and then your kid might just be like totally loose that night and you're like,
yeah,
this is too much chaotic energy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't handle it. I feel like a real adult when, speaking of adulthood, like at the top of our conversation, that's when I feel like a real adult is when I can somehow hold it together.
Yeah.
Which does not always happen.
when you're not losing your shit. Totally.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, I'm a calm, even like angelic mother right now.
Oh, I am the best I deserve a medal.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then not defaulting to the way you were parented. Like, that is so challenging when you're tired and when you're cognitively overloaded and everything's kind of, you're ready to just calm down, but everything's kind of coming at you.
Yes.
The default is the things that have been told to you and been told to you. There's so much unlearning that needs to happen as a parent. And you have to be very conscious of that. And that is challenging.
Yeah.
I think that's challenging for anybody, not just people who own businesses and have kids.
I couldn't agree more. If you were to give someone one piece of advice who does own a small business and is about to embark on parenthood, what would that be?
Well, looking back, I thought that I had set myself up to some degree, but really I hadn't. And I didn't, I had lots of people to kind of call on, but I wish that I had one person that I really trusted and had faith in. Like, if I had had a postpartum doula, we went through the public system and we had shared care, but because it was during COVID, like, I didn't know who was who. And so I have no idea if the midwife that we had, I had met before, like, I don't remember. And I was in the zone during birth. So anybody could have come in and I would have been like, yep, cool. Like, I don't remember any of you. So having somebody that you can call on other than your partner and your, if you've got parents, that's their job to do, even just to hold your baby while you're like having a shower, like, that stuff is really important. So if you are of the means to be able to do that, then that would be my suggestion, having someone or at least having one person that you can call on for help.
I think that's great advice. Support. And my last question for you, this might be a similar answer, it might be a bit different, but if you think about that early postpartum cat that was really struggling and was maybe wondering how there was a way forward or when you'd see the light, what would you tell that version of yourself?
It's probably a similar answer, to be honest, to have that one person, but also like that it's not forever. And that's what the mantra that I would kind of, anytime that Augie would cry all night and be like, everything changes. It's just like everything changes or nothing's permanent. Nothing's permanent.
I would always say to myself, this too shall pass. And I always thought that was a cliche, but it really helped me in those moments where you're feeling a bit dark, a bit nervous about nighttime, wondering what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So I think that's a great one.
And it's also true for the good times as well. So it then kind of pulls you out of the complacency. It's like, well, yeah, actually, like, looking at this baby beside me, they were so small not that long ago. And, now he's like, cuddle, 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 obsessed with cuddles and trying to cuddle the dog and like walking around doing his own thing. And I just have to remember this and take note of this because this is also going to pass.
That's a really beautiful sentiment to end on. Kat, if anyone wants to visit your studios, how would we find them?
So we have Good Times Pilates and we do reformer Pilates, as you can see. But we have studios in Fitzroy, Northcote and Brunswick. You can find us on the www or follow us on Instagram at Good Times Pilates.
Thank you so much for sharing your story today.
Oh, thank you so much, Lucinda. It was so lovely to chat with you.
Thanks for listening to Ready or Not. If you liked the show, please tell your friends, subscribe or write a review. You can also find us on Instagram at readyornot.pod. That's it for today. We'll see you next time.